Coffee with a Missionary. I'm your host, Ryan Marshall. Had a great week here in Papua New Guinea. We're going to be talking about all of that. But before we get started, I'd like for you to hear from Anchor, how easy it is to start a podcast. And then we're going to have me and Sister Marshall tell you about the week of Thanksgiving in Papua New Guinea. God bless. Thanks for tuning in to Coffee with the Missionary. Now go grab yourself a cup and we'll get started. So we've had a great week here in Papua New Guinea. Last week was Thanksgiving. We had the opportunity to have some people over here for our Thanksgiving dinner, and they hung out with us for a little while. But right now I would like to introduce, I'm going to call her my co-host because I don't really consider her a guest, my wife, Sister Marshall. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. Hello, everyone.
Good. So, why don't you tell us a little bit about the difference that we have between Thanksgiving in America versus Thanksgiving in Papua New Guinea? A little different, I know, but.
Well, first of all, there wasn't a turkey. And a lot of ingredients that you have in America, you don't have here, so you have to improvise a lot.
It was pretty crazy. We went looking for turkeys and couldn't find one. And we're in a country where pork is prevalent. I mean, it's everywhere. And went to the store to find some ham, and they was out of ham. So what did we end up settling for this year?
Roasted chickens.
Easier cleaning and cooking time, though, right? They're pre-cooked. Just go get them. They're stuffed, ready to go.
Yeah, I just had to do the sides.
What all sides did we have?
We had mashed potatoes. I call them cheese noodles, but everybody else calls them mac and cheese. Baked beans, scones. I made an apple pie, strawberry.
Turnovers.
Yeah, and peanut butter cookies, M&M cookies. So we had plenty of desserts.
Speaking of desserts, about how many dozens of, like hundreds of thousands of cookies were baking that night for the ladies' conference? About how many cookies do you think that you made, and muffins and everything else?
I made 12 dozen cookies altogether and 8 dozen muffins.
So 96 cookies. And how many muffins? How many dozen?
I think it was 8.
8 dozen. Wow. That's a lot of bacon.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of bacon. So when we had our Thanksgiving dinner, you know, I always have been, well, not always, but here lately I've been telling everybody with the holidays coming up, be sure to pray for your missionaries because, you know, it's a difficult time for us, not being home with family, not being there to be able to do that. But this year it was pretty great. We had had the guys here on the compound that's been through the mentorship program that was here. We had, like Sister Marshall said, we had some chicken and some sides and all kinds of stuff. And so there was 144. She just made a note for me to read, 144 cookies and muffins. That's insane. And people wonder why I'm fat. I don't know.
Although it wasn't for you.
That doesn't mean I didn't sneak a few in. Let's just be honest. But she done some serious bacon. We had the guys over here. We done our usual. We've got a keyboard in the living room. The guys sit around. They play. They sing. It's wonderful. It's really good. If you cough, it's all right. No big deal. I like to make this pretty informal. You know, this is Coffee with the Missionary. You know, some of the greatest relationships you can build sitting across the table, having a cup of coffee, having a Bible study, just kind of hanging out, getting to know each other. So if we were sitting at a table across from each other, there's a chance one of us would cough here and there, so no big deal. So about the ladies' tea, I'm going to let you say, I say tea with the missionary, obviously, because this is coffee with the missionary. But what kind of things did you do? I know you had some gifts. You had it was obviously for the ladies, so yes. I didn't go back there. I just stayed on our front porch and watched through the trees to make sure that no guys tried to sneak in. And I caught one, but I got him. But how did that go? What did you do?
Well, it was a really nice time, and it was our first 2021 Women's Devotional Tea Time, is what we were calling it. And it was just for the pastor's wives and assistant pastor's wives. And we're going to do it once a year since it went really well. We decorated. I had lights and garland, and it was silver, white, and purple were the theme colors. And I had teacups and plates set for all the ladies that came in, and I had a little poem of encouragement for preacher's wives. And I gave them all an ink pen, and the faces, you ought to have seen them when they came in. It looked like I'd give them $1 million. And it was an ink pen and a poem. I mean,
it's big stuff.
Yeah. And usually these women, they don't smile much. They get their work done, do what they need to do, and they don't have time for themselves or encouragement for a pastor's wife. And I thought we'd set this time aside just for them to have a few hours alone with no kids, no men, and just encourage them.
I think that's awesome. And, you know, when we was on deputation, a lot of the churches that we went to, you know, you shared your burden about how we need to empower the women of Papua New Guinea. And you was able to do that. Funny thing is, though, we got all of these things. We got all of these scarves, all of these ink pens, all of these pads of paper to give these ladies. And then we put them in a container to ship over here so that we could give them to them at this event, because we knew that he was going to be doing something like this. And our container is still not here.
Nope.
I got an email saying that it was in Leh, but Leh is a long way from here, and it still has to go through customs, clear customs. Has to come all the way from Leh to Unkarumpa, which is still, it's probably 6 to 8 hours from here. So what did you do to make this work?
Well, since we didn't have all the things that we had put in the crate here, I just printed off a poem and put a little hole in it, put a bow, and gave each of them they call them biros, gave each of them a pen, and the poem is Pastor's Wives. A virtuous woman is wise and kind, clothed with dignity and strength. She is a comfort and encouragement to those around her. She loves God and shall be blessed. And when I read this to them, you could just see they were excited about what was happening there. That's not just for pastors' wives here. That is for pastors' wives everywhere. Because even if you're not here working the fields and all that stuff, you are in the fields in America working, and you need encouragement also. So I hope this also encourages the pastors' wives in America.
Amen. All around the world, right?
Amen. I told them a little bit of why we were doing this for encouragement, because pastors' wives work hard, and I know that they work really hard here in the fields and with the children and their husbands and the saints of their churches. So I told them, I said, this was just a time of encouragement, and I let them know that I appreciated them, that I admire them, I respect them, and most of all, that I was praying for them. And then we had muffins and cookies and candy bars, and I had a fruit tray and a vegetable tray. Sister Rose helped me do a lot of this, the pastor's wife that lives here in the compound with us. And I just had it all set up, and I had lights everywhere and stars, and their faces when they came in was just priceless. Adriana got some pictures and videos, and we're going to put something together and put it on Facebook so everybody can see. But when I was explaining to them that this was just for them and it was a time to smile and laugh, all 25 women in that place started smiling. I seen every single one of them smile. And then I was dismissing them so that they could get some food to eat. And I went back to talk with Sister Rose, and I look over and they're all crying, and I thought maybe I had said something that offended them or something. And I asked Sister Rose, I said, what happened? She said that Sister Helen Poyth said something and was telling them that they had been praying for, you know, someone to come and do this kind of stuff with the women, and they just all started crying, and it just touched my heart, because I knew right then that this was needed for the pastor's wives and the assistant pastor's wives. So I told him, I said, we're going to do this every year, once a year in November. And we had games. They love the games that we played. I brought some of the games from the tray with all the different items on it, and you had to guess what was on it. And we played two games. They got prizes. We had a door prize. And then, most of all, this was the most important part. God laid on my heart one name. And I was praying for this lady. And I had my own special tea set that I had up front for everybody to see. It was a really nice one with gold around it and flowers. And it was a whole set on a little stand and everything. And they all admired it when they came in.
Yeah.
Well, God impressed on my heart just one name. And I decided that with this one name, I was going to give her one of these little teacups off my set. And every year, that lady will bring that back. But the big thing was that we were all going to come around her and pray for her. And I told him, I said, every time you get on your knees, you lift this lady's name up in prayer and speak life into her life and speak good things. And I told him, I said, because next year when she comes, she's going to have a testimony. And we prayed for her, and the Holy Ghost fell, and it was wonderful. And we gave her a Bible. And she just cried. And it was a good time, and it was needed. These women needed this.
Absolutely.
So.
I agree 100%. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're empowering our women and our children, then they can stand behind, you know, the men of God that they're supporting. They can be the people that lift them up whenever they need it. A lot of times, you know, we'll say things like, you know, behind every good man is a better woman, or, you know, if mom ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. We say stuff like that all the time, but the reality of it is, it's true, you know. I mean, so a lot of times, not just sometimes, but a lot of times, you guys are the wind in our sails, right? You know, we're trying to do all of this stuff, but if you don't have a good woman behind you, then it makes everything almost impossible. You know, that's not saying that people can't do it or anything like that, because there's going to be some people in the world that they just don't care. But, you know, there's always those ones. If you look at some of the greatest men in the world and some of the greatest men in the Bible, you know, they've had a good woman behind them. So thank you for all you do. I appreciate it. You do great things for our kids, for me, for Papua New Guinea. I mean, you know, the list could go on and on. But
we also talked about prayer.
Yeah.
And I told him how important it was when they get down to pray, that they pray for their husbands. They pray for their churches. They pray for the saints in their church. They pray for their children. They pray for the ones that have gone away, the backsliders, the prodigals. I said, you have to pray, because you are the one that the church needs that, you know. You have to uplift the church. You have to uplift your husband. So we talked about that and how important it was to pray every day. And then at the end, we actually laid hands on one another.
Yeah.
And spoke life into each other's lives. It was a really good time, and you could tell that these women needed it. They were so excited. We had a door prize. Sister Helen, actually, Helen was the one that the name that God gave me to uplift for the year, and she got the teacup, the Bible, and then we drew the name, and she actually got the door prize too. And I told her, I said, see, God knew you needed this.
Amen. So Helen, who is Helen? Those that don't know,
she is a pastor of a church in Shimbu.
Valeria Church. That's the name of her church. It's Valeria Church.
Pastor Helen Poy.
Yep. She's also our national
ladies president.
And she does great things. She's definitely been there for us.
Yes, and she's prayer. Very excited to work with me and do some more things, not just for the pastor's wives and the assistant pastor's wife, but also for all the women.
Yeah, definitely. So. She was praying in the gazebo here, making sure that God kept his hand upon us, and she's a great woman. Very soft-spoken, sometimes too soft-spoken. You'll be talking to her and be like, huh? What'd you say? But, you know, it's It's all good. She does some great stuff. It's great to see that Sister Marshall has really, really stepped up, and she's done what she said she was going to do on deputation. She said she was going to empower these women, and there's been quite a few instances now where she's been able to do it, you know, and actually go out there and make some stuff happen. What was the women's thing that you done here? I don't really want to call it a conference. It was more of it's ministerial training, basically, right? Is that what you classified as, or
what, the devotional?
Yeah, what you guys done here.
It was just more of an encouragement time. I had a few scriptures and just to keep them going, you know, yeah. To let them know that they are important, that God is using them, even if it's not with a mic in their hand, you know, God is using them.
Amen. Everybody needs to hear that. Ministry is not a microphone, right? I mean, there's so much more to it. Everybody's like, well, I just want to preach. Well, you probably should grab a broom and a mop first before you go grab that microphone. Why don't you go scrub a toilet or two,
yeah,
right?
Let's start simple before we take those next steps.
Yeah, I'm ready to pastor, but I've never preached a message before. But you know, it's great. We're blessed and honored to be able to be here.
Yes.
You know, I've been pretty sick over the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's been about 2 weeks.
I got sick at the Cow Mountain Conference that we talked about last week, and then I started to get better. And Sister Marshall said, "Don't overdo it," and I didn't overdo it. I just overdone it. And I ended up back down again yesterday. Was it yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah. I was down all day yesterday in the bed taking Dayquil and doing all that stuff. And thankfully, I'm feeling a little bit better today. And God's really starting to move. But as I've been laying around, I've been talking to Sister Marshall for I don't know how many years about writing a book. I mean, what better time than whenever you're sick?
That's right, plenty of time.
Kick back and grab the old MacBook Air. I might throw an Amazon link in there for a MacBook, see if anybody wants to buy one through my affiliate link there. But jump on here, and I typed it up in just, I don't know, a couple of weeks, I guess. And it's going to be available on December 18th. Got some great men of God that's going to be writing in the foreword for that. Got Pastor Wiley Reinhardt's going to be doing my editing. You know, God's placed some great people in our life. But you know, it's stuff like this, you know, that we got to see this week and things that we got to see. You know, Thanksgiving Day, it just so happened to be Stephen's birthday. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the young men that's been going through this discipleship process. And we're a bunch of spoiled, rotten, bratty Americans. we really are. I mean, if it's our birthday, we have this expectation. Well, you know, we're going to have cake. We're going to have ice cream. We're going to get all of these gifts. What was Stephen's reaction when we gave him his all we got him was we call him a torpedo bun, which is basically like a long piece of bread with cream in the middle and red stuff and coconut on top and one slice of cake, right?
Yeah. But I don't think so much that we're spoiled. It's just we're privileged.
We're privileged.
But
I think it's a little bit of both.
Well, it's see his face. You know, we put a candle on it and sang him happy birthday, and he said, "This is the first time I've had cake."
First time this has ever happened.
First time this has ever happened, he said. And we were like, "What?" He said, "A birthday."
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was pretty humbling.
And it was his 21st birthday.
Yeah.
He's born in 2001, the year after Harley, or oldest daughter.
Yeah.
So she'll be 22 in February, and he turned 21 just on November 25th.
Yeah.
So it's pretty amazing to be able to go through these things with people here and see them light up.
Mm-hmm.
Ezekiel, he's big on numbers. I mean, anybody that knows Ezekiel very long knows that he likes to do research, and he likes to know why we do certain things, why we celebrate things, how long we've done it. So he looked it up, and a cool fact for you guys is this is, for a lot of us, this is the only time we're ever going to see this, right? We're on an exact 100-year celebration of Thanksgiving. So November 25th, 2021 was our 400th Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's something to be thankful for right there, right?
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome stuff. I thought that was cool, but, you know, Ezekiel, he likes looking into stuff like that. As far as the other stuff, you know, the birthdays and all of the things that we've been able to celebrate with everybody here over the past little. So we've got quite a bit going on right now here in Papua New Guinea. Next Saturday, this coming Saturday, is I'm gonna try to say this church name. It's different for me. Nunuma. That's it. Nunuma. Nunuma church opening, Pastor Lapun Yembe. It's over in the Shimbu district. He's going to have his church opening this coming Saturday, December the 4th.
Yeah. Him and his wife, Suzanne.
Him and his wife, Suzanne. She was actually here for the ladies.
Yep, she won one of the games.
See? So maybe she can use some of that stuff whenever they have their church opening, huh? This podcast is going to be a little bit longer than normal because we're talking about things that's new to Papua New Guinea, right? I mean, this is something that, well, not necessarily. Let me back up. I'm not going to say it's new to Papua New Guinea. It's new to the Assemblies of the Lord Jesus Christ, Papua New Guinea. There's certain things that we're doing that we're trying. Some of them has been huge failures and huge flops. Some of them made me feel like I was going to get deported, but thank the Lord we're still here.
Amen.
But what are some challenges that you have? I've done conference and I've done church openings, ribbon cuttings, but I have it for me. It's a little different. I've got a board that helps me, right? You know, I've got guys. I'm like, hey, we need a speaker for this night. We need an MC for this night. Who do you think we should have preach? You spearheaded this entire thing. I mean, you had a little help, like passing out Talk Savvies, which Talk Savvy just means, hey, here's a letter, we're doing this, show up. Mm-hmm. What are some challenges that you had personally, spiritually, physically? I know you went through a lot of stuff during this process. I already know. But why don't you tell our listeners about a little bit of the obstacles you have to overcome in a third world country, especially as far as like getting gifts and what you had to do to make this happen?
Well, it's a little challenging. It was a little different because, of course, it's just like everything else. I mean, you don't have a Walmart down the road where you can go get everything or put everything together. You have to kind of deal with what you have and what is available here. And the challenges that I went through was a lot of spiritual things. I really don't think the devil wants these women to be empowered here. So I fought a lot spiritually. A lot of praying and fasting went into this. I really believe that once the women get a hold of how important they are and how important their role is in the kingdom of God, that PNG is going to explode. Because once they realize that they need to be prayer warriors for their husbands to keep their husbands going, to keep his hands lifted up, then these men are going to feel like, you know, I can do this too, you know, because trying to do everything on your own as a man, I see my husband struggle sometimes, you know, because it feels like everything's on his shoulders. But when you've got a woman that is behind you and praying and trying to keep things together and being right there with you and lifting your arms up, then it helps the process go along. So I'm trying to teach them how important prayer is, how important encouraging one another is. And I also did this so that these women can see, not only can we have it here, but they can have it in their individual churches for the women in their churches also to encourage them. So the challenges and things that I had to go through to be able to do this last weekend, it was worth it.
Absolutely.
It was worth it.
Absolutely. One of the obstacles that we had is... most of our listeners already know that we're in the middle of a building program right now. So the conference area that we used to have, we no longer have.
Yeah.
A lot of things here are done outdoors. I mean, 90% of our stuff, if it's a big something, it's usually outside. Yes. Right? So we kind of toyed around with how we was going to do this. We actually have a new breezeway that we've built with a nice sidewalk underneath and all of these things. I'm sorry, I'm wheezing, guys. Bear with me. How about we, everybody get your coffee cup ready. There we go. That's much better. But we had that breezeway, and we was like, well, we could have it under there, maybe build something up. And then we was like, well, we have our little Kai bar area. It's enclosed. Maybe we could put them in there. And then we was like, you know what? We'll just put them in the house man.
Yeah.
Right? We'll put them in. The house man is basically where all of the pastors stay at conference time. We have a platform in there with mattresses, stuff like that. It's got a dirt floor, grass over it, you know, just it's got a locking door, two windows, pretty fancy, right? Bamboo building. Uh-huh. You know, it's but if you could have seen, like I said, I wasn't back there, but I heard stories. And Sister Marshall, sometimes you got to pry to get stuff out of her. So I'm just going to throw this out here. They was telling me that when these ladies came in, you know, Sister Marshall, she went and bought some, what's that stuff? Garland?
Garland.
That silver garland for Christmas trees, right?
Yeah.
And she wrapped the post of the house, man. We had John Cooley build us four tables.
Mm-hmm. And steps for the platform.
And steps for the platform. And then we had church pews that we used for seating. Well, this is going to break your heart if you're not from Papua New Guinea, but this is just how it is. I mean, for the first long time, I would see people sitting on the floor, and it breaks you, yeah. Right? I mean, it's humbling.
Yes.
But these women, they begin to cry. Whenever they was talking about how special that, I'm getting a little emotional right now thinking about this, but they started to talk about how special they felt because they had tables to sit at, they had seats to sit on, and there was nice tablecloths. We had several different types of tea.
Yes.
We had juice. We had water. About anything you could think of. And it's just amazing to me how they felt.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes just making somebody, if you get nothing else out of it, you'll realize this if you ever go into missions, sometimes just making someone else feel good about themselves, just for 5 minutes.
Just to see them smile.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, this is the first time I've ever had a cake for my birthday.
Right.
Just a small something, just to see them like they light up.
Right.
And it's amazing to see. And I hope that every one of you get to experience this because it's amazing. While we was on deputation, like I said, this is going to be a long one. Guys, if you don't want to listen, cut it off whenever. But we're going to go as long as we keep going here. But while we was on deputation, there was a couple of people that Sister Marshall, she talked about them almost every service. A lot of services. I know Mississippi heard a lot about the little boy that I just forgot his name.
Thomas.
Thomas. We heard about Thomas. We heard about Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Out of Maggie. Doble. We heard about Maggie. There was one day last week. I think it was Thanksgiving Day. Was it Thanksgiving? Day before Thanksgiving.
Yes,
it was Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Lo and behold, we come around a corner. Downtown Mount Hagen. Thousands of people. People all over the place. And who did you see?
I seen
Thomas. Man, how
good
is that?
For the first time.
First time since we've been back.
Yeah.
And we was in a hurry. She she wanted me to stop, but guys, you know how it is. We're getting Thanksgiving dinner. I got ham to find. Never did find it, but I was looking. And then we get to Doble Supermarket, where we're looking for ham again, another supermarket closer to our house. And who did you see there?
And just before, after I seen Thomas, I said, I haven't seen Steve for a few weeks. I wonder if he's all right. And as soon as we get to Doble, there's Steve
big
giving
smile.
Me a big old hug.
Yeah, big smile on his face. You know, one thing you have to understand, Steve, he can't speak, right? He's very, very handicapped.
Yes.
We're not sure what it is. He doesn't communicate well. We're pretty sure he can hear us, but we don't know if he's deaf. But he really can't speak. But every time he sees Sister Marshall, he just knows. He just comes up with this big smile, and he's giving her a hug, and you know, she's just pouring into him every time she sees him, regardless of whether he hears us, whether he, you know, understands what we're doing. It's great.
He can hear.
I'm pretty sure he has pretty good understanding,
because
too.
When I prayed for him that one day, the next time that I seen him, he had in his little pouch, he had a Bible, and he was making sure he showed me that he had that Bible.
Oh, yeah.
So.
He makes sure that he lets us know he comes to conference, too. Yes. He does this thing where he'll point towards our house.
Yeah.
And he makes this noise. I'm not going to do it, but he makes this noise and he points at our house and like saying, "I'll be there at conference," you know, or he'll point at his head. He'll like, you know, smile real big, like, "Hey, I was there,"
right?
You know, stuff like that. But it's really cool to be able to see these guys, see what God's doing in their life. You know, even though some of them don't have the most fortunate circumstances, it's really good to see that God has used, you know, the ministry here in Papua New Guinea to be able to uplift them a little bit. But it's just great. And it's wonderful. I don't know if I mentioned, but I may have already mentioned the baptisms in Shimbu this weekend. I talked about it. I always do a quick update of what went on Sunday. So Sunday, I tell you what, I wasn't able to go to church because I was sick, right? I've already said that. But I got two church reports today. Breaking news. Koibuka Church, which is Pastor Ua, two people repented last month. No baptisms, no Holy Ghost. But repents is the first step. Then we have one here from Jerusalem Church. We had 8 people that came to repent. We had 1 baptized in Jesus' name. God is so good. Shimbu, Pastor Andrew Yanni had service yesterday, had 8 people get baptized in Jesus' name in 1 church service. Man, that's good stuff. Yes, revival's happening here. Amen. In Papua New Guinea. It's exciting to see what God's doing, and that's just reports that I've personally got. Disclaimer for you guys, you know, I told you guys that I keep a pretty good running total of repentance, baptism, and Holy Ghost infillings. Got a spreadsheet, as a matter of fact. I have spreadsheets to keep track of all my spreadsheets, I'm telling you what. But it just helps me keep track of what we got going on. But keep on praying for Papua New Guinea. We thank you for your continued prayers and support. You know, if it wasn't for our supporters back in the States, the reality of it is we couldn't be here. And Sister Marshall, she wants to share something with you real quick.
The lady's name that I got, I would really like for everyone that listens to this to also lift her name up daily for the next year. Her name is Helen Poy. And if you could lift her name up, just ask God to bless her, strengthen her, touch her body, help her financially, spiritually, mentally. Just lift her up. Anytime that you pray, just say her name, Helen Poy. I would really appreciate it, and I know she will.
I'll drop her name in the comments. That way you have the correct spelling of that name if you want to put her in your prayer journal. We would greatly appreciate it. Not to do my own personal commercial here, but I'm also going to drop a link to the pre-order of my new book. It's available for pre-order on Kindle right now. And then on December 18th, it will drop as a paperback book. And at midnight, it will launch as the e-book. So if you pre-order it now, it'll just download your Kindle library overnight, and you'll be able to read it the next morning. Pretty quick read. I think it's like 100 and maybe 120 pages or something.
Not sure, but it was good.
She has to say that.
No, I do not.
But it's just, you know, I'll save it for next week. I'll share a little bit of why I wrote it and a few things that are in there without spoiling it, so you still have to buy it. But thank you for tuning in. I know that this was a longer episode than normal. One thing I do want to throw out there, I'm going to throw Brother Ryan French out real quick. One of my favorite podcasts. If you don't follow Apostolic Voice with Ryan French, go follow it. It's great. But I was thinking, as Sister Marshall was talking about, you know, the difference in foods and stuff we had for Thanksgiving. He does this thing about once a month where he does like different candies and stuff like that. I think I'm going to try to connect with him. I don't know him personally, But I have really gotten to really like his podcast. He's a United Pentecostal pastor, and I'm going to try to connect with him, and I'm going to bring him back some PNG candy, I think, so that he can do a one of his episodes where him and his family bite into some of this candy, and it's really neat to hear their reaction. So I think that'd be really cool. So Brother French, I'm going to throw that out there for you. I'll tag you in this. I'll be reaching out on social media before we come back on deputation to let you know what kind of candies we have and see if there's anything that jumps out that your family would like. And we'll set that up. All right, brother? All right, we'll talk to you guys later. We love and appreciate you, and we'll talk to you soon. God bless.
Thank you all for listening, and we appreciate all your prayers.
Thank you for listening to Coffee with a Missionary. Please don't forget to rate, review, subscribe to this podcast, follow us on social media, and go to anchor.com to find out how to support us monthly. God bless.